You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2. So if you're watching us now on TSN 2, you can see that is now Pinty's that is involved with Overdrive. Overdrive presented by Pinty's. Our friends at Pinty's have jumped on board, and we couldn't be more excited. And as I said earlier today, I have been mashing Pinty's Buffy Bites for a long time, and that is on the menu tonight for the Monday night.
Wow.
And the Jays and Yankees.
What are they called? Can you give us an overview of the Buffy Bites?
I'll tell you what. I'll go get them in the break, and I'll show you them on TV.
I think that'd be great.
They're upstairs, and they are going to get demolished tonight.
Well, so. I think I should do my due diligence, but I never had them growing up, so I am going to be mucking them left and right.
Will
me.
You? Okay. Oh. Well, I'm glad you're jumping on board. You're late on the train, Noodles. I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, I've got the palate of a 4-year-old, and I've got young kids. So what do we eat? Chicken fingers, wings, barbecue, all of that.
Ribs, whole nine.
Ribs, you name it. We're going to have all of it at the house.
Yep. Yep.
It'll be amazing.
Yep, so that's our plan. And, again, we're very happy to have Pinty's on board. It seems like a perfect match for our show and our audience. And, wow. You know, we talk about food a lot, almost as much as we talk about sports.
We got a guy, Al's brother, who's probably fired up, too.
Al's brother is going to be fired up. I'm going to hopefully be seeing Al's brother in a couple of weeks, right, because we get the free agent frenzy. Well, the free agent frenzy's coming up. And I think we all have to be in the studio. I don't know how we're going to do that for the show at 4 and all that, but we're all going to be at Agent Court for the first time since March for me. Noodles, I believe the same for you. Oh, you've been in there before, and you continue to be in there for the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I think Al's brother's in there, you know, cooking up updates and working on lines and, you know, how he wants to gamble basically every day. And him and Mullen are in there as a package duo.
By the way, speaking of Al's brother, how did weekend bets go? I don't even remember who was picked.
Actually, we picked winners is what happened. You picked the Rams, they covered. You picked the Ravens, they covered. And I picked the Seahawks, and they just snuck by last night. So you would have been 3 for 3. It was 4.5.
Oh,
so when the Pats went for 2 and missed, I was sitting there in bed. I'm like, that's it. Like they're going to win by 5. You can just feel it. They're going to win by 5. They're going to cover the number. And if Belichick kicked the extra point or they converted on the 2-point conversion, totally different ballgame, potentially a cover for yourself, potentially a 3 for 3. But no guy, no dice.
No guy.
And did I take you to the cleaners for U.S. Open bets over the weekend too. But that is a conversation for off the air. You were getting a little cocky there on Saturday morning. A little bit crazy.
Who there's was wearing also white pants? One word involved that kind of spiked my interest and made me hit the send button. Mm-hmm. It was all calm and quiet, and one word came across the board, and I was like, oh,
it was provoking. It was a provocative word. It was very provocative.
It got my attention, and my ears got up. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Really?
Well,
really?
Nota Begay will join us here in just a moment. And I'm curious, as a guy, you know, he's been on tour. He's been analyzing the game for a long time. He's one of the best in the business. You know, how does he feel about DeChambeau? Like, that's the way everyone's talking right now. Like, what do you think of this guy? What do you make of him?
And if you were on tour, would you be cracking iron right now, eating raw steaks and protein shakes? Did you notice DeChambeau coming down the stretch? It was like he knew that he was going to win, and the advertising started coming out. The water bottle came out, and then the coconut water came out, and I was like, man, do you really have to be doing this right
now? He knew exactly what he was doing.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
It's money. Yeah. Money, why not? I mean, you have to do it, and why not? I mean, he's on the biggest stage right there, and he had the strut going down the fairway, too. Why not?
He did, and he deserved to, right?
Yeah.
He won the U.S. Open by 6 strokes. I mean, that's very, very impressive. And it's his first major, and he deserves to just bask in the glory.
But he has said caddy Tim has no idea what the hell's going on.
Well, he treats Tim like Smithers a little bit too. Oh, he gave him the Mr. Burns Smithers. I seriously knew this. You go back and watch. I think it was on 15 or 16. He just pointed at him and goes, "Get going. Like run up to the ball and start analyzing." And there goes Smithers, starts running with his bag. So Smithers gets up there, and I guess he's supposed to look at the ball and let him.
Yeah, but what if you're not like? What if you're not a rocket scientist like DeChambeau? He was like, "What's the elevation?" The and then they were coming up with weird numbers I've never heard a tour player say on a green.
He kept never saying 10%. I'm like, of what?
That's the slope of the green, I would guess. We'll ask Noda.
Okay, well, let's bring him in here. Longtime member of the tour and professional golfer, Golf Channel analyst. Here is Noda Begay. Do you have any idea what DeChambeau was talking about with the numbers and the science and everything before every shot?
Well, guys, I've got a Stanford degree, and I honestly sometimes don't know even what he's talking about. And yeah, your guess is as good as mine, but I guess when it was all said and done, he had the best equation for that golf course.
Well, what do you think going ahead, Noda? Like the rest of the tour players are watching that. Are they thinking, I've got to get in the gym and I have to change the dynamic of my game, which a lot of them probably can't even do? Bryson seems to be like a big dude. What do you think the trickle-down effect is for golf courses and his colleagues on tour?
Well, I think it just emphasizes something that most everybody already knew, is that driving distance and creating opportunities with length has become more important now than it ever has in the history of our game. And so whatever players are going to start utilizing to get to that point, to get more yardage, more speed, I think it's going to be something that'll be very interesting, because I agree with you. I don't know that every player can approach it like Bryson. I mean, he's been very, you know, if you look back at just the evolution of this whole approach, it wasn't like he just said, hey, I'm going to go start lifting weights. He figured out how to do it and not get injured. He figured out how to do it and make it sustainable. He figured out how to practice that hard, play that hard, and recover from day to day. So he's got the magic formula right now, and guys are going to try and replicate it to their own style, is my prediction.
Well, watching him Saturday night, DeChambeau, you know, after the round and his media obligations, and he's out on the range, and they got the spotlight on him, and he is, like, crushing golf balls and torquing his back. Like, I'm watching this guy thinking he better have, like, an Aleve sponsorship coming up, or he better be pumping Advil into his system almost after every swing. Like, it just feels like too much of a gamble. Like, at some point he's going to throw something out that he just can't recover from, because he is swinging so violently all the time.
Yeah, that's 100% right. I mean, I saw that same practice session, and if I would have hit 30 to 40 drives with that much torque in my back or my hip, I wouldn't have been able to get out of bed the next morning, to much less play in the final group at the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. But like I said, it's not just this sort of absent-minded approach to getting stronger and creating clubhead speed. It's also how to maintain those thresholds without hurting himself. And I think he's been very smart about it. And I think there hasn't been enough attention given to that, because we're so focused on the end product, which is what everybody looks at. It, you know, we love home runs. We love power. In this particular case, club head speed and ball speed. I mean, he was hitting drives regularly in the 190s. And, you know, the golden threshold on the PGA Tour is, if you can hit 200 with your ball speed, you're one of maybe three or four golfers that can do that at that level. So, you know, he's pushing that on a regular basis, which I think is quite impressive.
Do you think he's the overwhelming favorite for Augusta right now? I mean, you think about where some of those drives are going. He is going to shorten up holes, and God knows what he can do in a hole like 11 at Augusta, where everyone's driver long iron to that green. Some just lay short of the water to the green there. He might be hitting driver pitching wedge.
Yeah, we'd have to go back to 1995. Mm-hmm. When Tiger made his debut at Augusta. This was prior to a couple renovations that Augusta National went through. And Tiger hit a 9-iron into 11. He hit a pitching wedge into 15. Mm-hmm. And it was just an indicator, an omen of what was to come. And 2 years later, he goes back out there as a professional and breaks the all-time record and basically tears that golf course apart. So this wouldn't be the first time that someone went out to Augusta National and overpowered it. I think it's going to be a little bit different in this particular case, because if you look at some of the places that Bryson drove it at Wingfoot, there's going to be a lot more tactical decisions that are going to be need to be made at Augusta National. So I don't think he'll get away with as much at Augusta, but certainly when he does find the fairway, he's going to find himself with two or three clubs less than his competitors.
With Nota Begay, longtime pro golfer, Golf Channel analyst, you mentioned Tiger, and we love talking about Tiger. We love talking about Mickelson, and we've had the luxury of doing it for a long, long time. But this kind of felt like, to me, this was the end of the road for both of them at the Open in terms of contention. You know, Mickelson, he's got to qualify to get in next year, which I think he might, but he really struggled. Tiger, it seems like he doesn't play enough. So for him to walk into a course like that with USGA rules and with how they're going to build up the rough and the greens, it was ugly for him. Is that a stretch? Am I going too far to suggest, you know, we witnessed something very new with DeChambeau, but we also may have witnessed the end of an era where Tiger and Phil are just out of contention at U.S. Opens?
Yeah, I think it was the first time in, I believe, it was 15 to 20 U.S. Opens that neither Phil nor Tiger played on the weekend. So you're 100% correct. This kind of did signal a transition, and the passing of the torch from these guys that carried the game through the 90s, early parts of the 2000s, to this next generation that they have unorthodox swing. Bryson DeChambeau, Matt Wolff, that are coming out here, and Matt Wolff hitting two fairways on Saturday and shooting 65, and Bryson going out and not driving it well either and shooting the best score on the golf course in the final group on Sunday to win the U.S. Open. So maybe a slight changing of the guard. I wouldn't rule either Phil or Tiger out on occasion, but the stars are going to have to align. The bodies are going to have to feel good. Phil's going to have to drive it better, and Tiger's going to have to be able to play himself a little bit more out of trouble in better fashion than he did this last week.
Nota, where do you think Tiger's at big picture in his golf game? He seems to have lost a little bit of a sparkle in his eye. I know missing the cut and not playing particularly well at Wingfoot would probably do that. But I don't know how much more he's expecting out of his game. He's a little older now. He does not play that much. Like, how much could he be expecting showing up at a golf course as far as his performance? I know he's Tiger Woods and I know what he's done, but I just wonder what's ahead for him.
Yeah, I mean, and just we've had a couple conversations sort of around just the difficulties in courses like Wingfoot or just some of the recovery challenges that he faces from one round to the next. And it's going to be, like I said, situational. He's going to have to find the right golf course. He's going to have to be at a good place with his swing and his putting stroke. And he's going to need a little good fortune on his side, I think, to be able to find himself in contention in the big events. I think you can't make the direct comparison to Wingfoot to Augusta National. I think they're completely different courses. They're both major championships, but I think Tiger is going to play much better. If Tiger took the game that he had at Wingfoot to Augusta National, he would have made the cut, and he might have been able to factor with a big round over the weekend. But he just was unable to chip the ball well enough when he was able to play out of the thick stuff and get his ball around the greens. And, you know, your scrambling percentages need to be good in these major championships, because at best you're going to average, you know, 12 or 13 greens a day, which means you have to get up and down four or five times to keep that score low.
Well, he's got it the next two majors, right? Like, you got the Masters in November, then the Masters back on tour where it's supposed to be next April. So hopefully he puts himself in contention for both. Always appreciate you finding time for us, Nota. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Nota Begay from the Golf Channel and pro golfer himself. And good friends with Tiger. Went to Stanford with Tiger. And like you said, Stanford degree. And he's like, I don't know what this guy's talking about. Bryson and
Timmy.
His gear is thrown. You know, like he's just got a different vibe to him. Bryson, yeah. DeChambeau does, but he's fun to watch, man. And he's a character on tour. Like, you got to see what he's going to do next.
He was at Augusta National. He saw Bobby Jones golf clubs, and they were all one length. And then he's like, did the science behind it. I actually think that's a pretty cool idea to try all your clubs the same length.
It's kind of surprising no one has ever done it, you know, yeah. or more people aren't like, I'm comfortable with the length of my 7-iron. Why not just have every single club the same length and change the loft? Like, he's got the same bounce on every iron, the same, I think, grind. Like, it just simply is the loft is different. Every club is identical except for the loft. That's it. So, you know, congrats. This is one, and I got to believe he's going to win at least one or two more majors.
Absolutely.
You know, just the way he plays and how good he is, and he's 27.
I'm curious to see what future venues are going to do for him. Like, USGA, they're going to go to, I don't know where the U.S. Open is. I think it's Torrey Pines next year.
Yeah, it's at Torrey Pines.
So they've got to already be thinking, how am I going to Bryson DeChambeau-proof this golf course?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then on top of that, you got, you know, Dustin Johnson, who, if he's locked in, what do you do about that? You know, if Koepka's healthy, there's just so many good players. You know, there's so many good players, and they all have a bit of a different style. But a lot of the big boys, they mash, man. That's what they do. You look at the guys who have won majors over the past couple of years. You know, it's not a coincidence that it's guys that hit bombs off the tee. Yeah, go ahead, Noodles.
Sorry, I was going to say, all I know is Noda was a huge fan of Brian Hayes.
Yeah, a couple of that's a great question.
I agree
comments
with you,
right,
Brian.
Afterwards.
Yeah, like
that's 100% right.
I like to hear that. Thank
come
you,
on.
You're 100% correct.
You're 100% correct. He said it twice.
Yep, in two different fashions, right? One was 100% right. The other was 100% correct.
Can we get both of them back to back?
That's 100% right. You're 100% correct.
I like both. I think I like correct. Correct just sounds a little bit more esteemed.
Yeah.
100% correct.
You're 100% correct.
Add that
correct
to the Dwayne Casey comments, and I am
Let's
do a mashup, Moles. Get a mashup of Brian Hayes, Love, and we'll play it all. Yeah. Play it all
for
the guy.
The voice of the NBA, you know, and you're the
voice of reason.
Toronto,
voice of reason for Toronto
media.
Sports media.
Whole nine, man. Golf takes, basketball takes, everything.
Yeah.
Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, on if Stamkos will go tonight. If he does, is this a massive turn of events in terms of how Tampa could respond? And I guess in reaction to that, how Dallas might respond tonight. And the awards are going to be announced in the next 10 to 15 minutes. Who wins the Hart, the Norris, Jack Adams, Vezina? We'll get you all that information and more coming up later in the hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Vegas at home tonight against New Orleans. Saints -4 favorites. And it's the grand opening. You know, you got the new building in Vegas, no fans, but you know Lloyd Christmas will be in attendance.
Oh, yeah.
You know that.
I want to see what his mask routine is. Like, Belichick's mask was all...
P.F.
Chang's
mask.
Last night. Yeah, you think? P.F. Chang's mask? No,
that would be great, actually. If what's his name? Davis? What's his first
Mark
name?
Mark Davis.
Mark Davis. If he is wearing a P.F. Chang's sponsored mask sitting
Belichick's,
alone in the stadium.
Belichick's looked like a bird beak or something. It was just – he didn't want the mouth part. I don't know.
It's it was folded stupid underneath, and it was – I mean, Andy Reid was glorious.
I love that he
night
circled
glorious
back. And the defog, right? He was spraying that thing constantly, and he looked great. He looked
It was
awesome.
Glorious. I loved it so much.
He's committed to the game. Like, he's playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers, man. Go ahead and mess around with your masks and get fine. I'll sit back here with my shield and be 2-0. That's Andy Reid.
Yeah. But, yeah, the mask, guaranteed Mark Davis is going to have some sort of, like, weird thing. Or it's gonna not going to fit right, and he's going to be sitting there with his Lloyd Christmas hairdo. And can you imagine how amazing this game would be tonight if there wasn't, like, how packed it would be, the atmosphere in Vegas.
Oh, in Vegas, man. Like an NFL weekend wrapping up with a Monday nighter. How many people would have flown into Vegas on Friday or Saturday and just spent all Sunday in a sports book watching games and gambling, and then all day just doing whatever you got to do, day parties, felt, tables, and then it's
just
tailgate central, because the stadium's right downtown. Like, it's right off the strip. It's not right off the strip, but it's not far. Like, it's not in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, I thought I read that they were thinking of building some like, I don't know, tunnel or something like that, where they can basically set up shop from the strip. Like, they'll pick one of the main casinos kind of right in the middle of everything, the Bellagio or whatever, and it's just going to be a one-way stop from the stadium back to the strip, stadium, strip, stadium, strip, and basically for tailgating. So you could almost tailgate at your hotel or casino or on the strip and then just jump on, boom, go to the game, walk in, jump back on the tunnel afterwards or on the train or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and you're back at your hotel within like 10 minutes of the game coming to an end.
Your head would explode, Brian.
Be
like
perfect.
you would be. You want to talk about walking around in a tracksuit at 8 o'clock?
This guy was so creepy. I'll never get that out of my mind. He had the leg crossed, the coffee there with him, a ball cap on, and I didn't even know who it was. And then he looked at me and said, "Hey, what's going on?" I just looked and said, "What an absolute creep show!"
Yeah, it was. Kramer.
I picked Tiger as a future to win the Masters. So what you were watching was someone.
I know,
cash.
But I just didn't know that you were that involved.
Well, it's once you know you go to Vegas every once in a while. You got to take in Vegas, man.
You got to dig in, absolutely.
Yeah, you got to pay.
Oh, trust me, you showed me the operation, and I sat down and looked at the papers. I'm like, this is pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yep. Pretty cool.
Love it.
Yeah, it is a big missed opportunity, though, for the Raiders, man. Like, to be making their debut in Vegas, and you can't have fans in attendance. I'm surprised by that. That, like, Nevada and Vegas, I thought they were open. Like, how are they not pumping in 15,000 to 20,000 people tonight? I'm surprised. And it's been difficult to get a read on who's allowing fans and who isn't and why not. And every state, every city's got a different legislature and different game plan, I guess, different rules and regs, so to speak. Here is our NHL hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. How you doing, Pierre?
How about them Cowboys?
What a
they
loser.
Suck, dude.
They're not good together.
Yeah,
they suck. They're not
Poor
a good
O-Dog.
Team.
I felt so bad for O-Dog that his tweet was still hanging there an hour later.
Dude, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, come on, Pierre, get serious. You're a loser or something like that. And then I looked at that score. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. They still suck, by the way.
That division's brutal, Pierre. Well, you're going to get in with like 6-10 might get you in the NFC.
Well, I think they'll win the division, which isn't saying much, but their defense is terrible. But I tell you, they can score at will. Mm-hmm. That offense is spectacular.
Yeah, they are good. They are good. I mean, with Zeke chugging and, like, you add CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they're good.
But their defense is – it's unbelievable. They honestly cannot stop anything. Zero.
Think about it, man. You got two games left against the Giants, and Saquon Barkley's done for the year.
Like, that's poor guy, too. Like, I know they're divisional rivals, but I hate, by the way, all these injuries within 2 weeks.
That's Barkley's second major one, I think. He hasn't been around that long.
Yep.
I worry about him. But, I got to say, I tweeted this. We'll move on from this because we got to do hockey. But, you know, 40 years of being a Cowboys fan and a lot of highs, a lot of lows. I have nothing that compares to that game.
That was so fun.
You should not come back from that deficit. That is ridiculous.
Well, that stat that the Falcons are the first team in like 440 teams to have 39 or more points with no turnovers and lose the game. Like that, I saw that online last night. Like just an outrageous, one of those cherry-picked stats. But, yeah, the Falcons had 39 points with zero turnovers in their loss last night. Entering today, which was yesterday, teams were 440-0. When scoring 39 points with zero turnovers since 1933.
Wow, and their defense is even worse than the Cowboys. I mean, Prescott threw for 450 yards without a blink of an eye.
It's crazy.
I mean, they got issues there. Yeah.
So let's get crazier here, Pierre. And St. Louis doesn't have an NFL team anymore, so now we can talk about their hockey team. And Alex Pietrangelo, are they still going to have a captain in a month, or? What's going on here with Pietrangelo and the negotiation in St. Louis?
Yeah, I heard you guys earlier in the show talking about it, and then heard Ray talk about it. Ray hit on something very important, that this isn't just about money when it comes to the breakdown in these talks. I mean, the Blues just don't give out signing bonus money. Braden Shen signed a gigantic deal last year, zero signing bonus money in that deal, that eight-year deal that he signed. Ditto for Justin Falk, who signed that 7-year extension a year ago when he joined the Blues. 7 times 6-5, no signing bonus money. But obviously Alex Pietrangelo is not those guys. He's their captain. So this has been contentious. And I think, you know, frustrating probably from Pietrangelo's point of view, and he gave a pretty heartfelt interview with Jeremy Rutherford in The Athletic Friday night. I interviewed him the week before, where I could sense the frustration creeping into his voice. And I think the frustration is that he probably feels he should have been taken care of a year ago after they won the Cup, a year out. It didn't happen. But the interesting thing in all this, if you sit back and look at St. Louis and Boston, the two teams that have managed their caps, I think, better than any of the other organizations in the National Hockey League in the last several years, they both face a really interesting moment this offseason. Torrey Krug and Alex Pietrangelo potentially could go to market. Those teams aren't used to losing core players. They've had guys buy in and sign for less and play for less. And they've ran into a couple of headstrong young men who understand the business. Torrey Krug's a sharp kid. And I'm not saying that the guys I've signed before for less are dummies. Of course not. I'm just saying the Bruins with Krug and the Blues with Pietrangelo have run into some headstrong young players who aren't just taking their agent's advice, but are actually quite invested in their own situation, have done their homework, and believe in what they believe in.
Pierre,
it's just interesting because those are the two teams that haven't had to face this, right?
I don't know how headstrong you have to be when other teams like the Toronto Maple Leafs on July 1st will dump a chunk of chains on the end of your driveway. And if other teams aren't willing to do that, I don't know. Like, what's St. Louis thinking, not having bonuses? I know there's structure in place for their organization, but if you're a player, they like the idea of July 1st every year, you're going to the end of the driveway and picking up $10 million or some nonsense like that. Like, who wouldn't want that?
Well, I don't know that the Blues have to defend themselves too much in how they've done their thing since they won the Cup last year.
They don't. But there's always options. It's like anything else.
Yeah, and believe me, in case anyone's wondering, I mean, it goes without saying that if Pietrangelo is on the market October 9th, the Leafs will be among the teams, I believe, that are going to absolutely find out what it's going to take. That doesn't mean they'll get him, because I don't know that the Leafs can afford to get him at any price. But they will inquire, as they should. And when I talk to other teams around the league, you know, I always need to go, you know, to other teams to try and find out the little truth serum on the Leafs. I have had the message from other teams that what they hear from the Leafs all the time in the last month is we need a real upgrade on our blue line. That is priority number one. And I know what you're going to say. We've only been talking about that for a few years. But my point is, I think there's some urgency to it that we haven't seen maybe before. Now, that doesn't mean that it has to be Alex Pietrangelo. To me, he'd be the ideal candidate, even with all the cap issues it creates, because he's the kind of game changer on the back end that you just don't see very often available as a free agent. I mean, he on the right side for the Leafs, playing on the top pairing with Morgan Rielly, that would just be an insane upgrade for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, it would force some changes up front that are difficult, no question, but...
Like what, Pierre?
Well, I mean, listen, you know, you'd have to entertain potentially trading Nylander, or trying to package two or three other forwards who, frankly, right now don't have that much value in the market. You know, Andreas Johnsson's been hanging out there in the market for a while now. But let me tell you something about how hard it is for teams to move money. I talked to a GM today who said it is next to impossible to move money right now in this market. Like, it is, you got NHL owners telling their GMs, you are not adding to the payroll.
Wow.
So it is really a crazy market right now in terms of trying to move money. And that's why I'm fascinated to find out how Vegas is going to, if they are indeed signing Robin Leonard, how they're going to try and move Fleury, how to try and move a $7 million goalie at the age of 36. All these things are fascinating to me. But, again, if the Leafs can't make a move on Pietrangelo, you know, whether it's a free agent potentially like Chris Tanev or whether it's a trade for Matt Dumba, they need to augment their top four, if not their top two. That is the number one priority. It's not just a media-driven thing. It's what the Leafs are trying to do.
No, they have to know that. I mean, anyone watching this team, and all of us watch them play very closely all year, they have two top four defensemen. They have Riley and Muzzin. They do not have a third. Justin Hall is not a third. Travis Dermott is not a third. Sandin is not there yet. I don't know. Maybe he gets there in a couple of years, but he's not right now. If you have two top four defensemen and then everyone else is a third pairing guy, it's, you know, becomes a pretty obvious addition, you know, or a pretty obvious plan of attack, right?
Yeah.
Like they have to upgrade.
And I happen to like Dermott myself. I think he's a legit second pairing guy, but you can disagree with that.
Not based on how he's played, Pierre. He's right. Too inconsistent. He doesn't offer anything offensively. Nothing. You know, he makes mistakes. He's still – I don't think he's met expectations or even come close to it. I like his tools a lot. He skates well. I think he's got quality gap control. He looks like a guy who should be more explosive and more in it. But I think he's way wildly inconsistent and at times, you know, lacks confidence. So he might get there.
And here's the last thing I would add on Pietrangelo, and this is just me spitballing. But I want you guys to remember this because I think you guys touched on this earlier in the show when you talked about Tavares' salary when he came on. You may or may not remember some of the scuttlebutt, but it's an absolute fact that had Lou Lamoriello been open to this, the Leafs would have done a sign and trade for Tavares, I believe, which would have got them the eighth year on Tavares, which would also have massaged the AAV. And where I'm going with this, and I think you can see where I'm going, is that if Pietrangelo does go to market, and by the way, I'm with you guys. There's still absolutely a chance from now on October 9th that the Blues make another offer, and who knows what happens. But if he goes to market, the eighth year, everyone always thinks the eighth year matters more to the player than it does to anyone else. But in this particular case, it might actually matter more to the Leafs or any other team going after him. That because it would bring down the AAV. The idea of tacking on the extra years to trying to massage the money, it would have for Tavares. Tavares would have come at a slightly cheaper AAV had they been able to do a sign and trade with the Islanders. Lou Lamoriello had no interest in it at the time, and you get why. But my point is, and I tweeted this Friday night in the aftermath of the news that Dregs broke about Pietrangelo going to market. Keep an eye on that. I mean, if the Blues strike out, if they try to make another effort to sign him and they strike out again, do they get someone who wants that eighth year, and what do the Blues get out of it? But also, what does the team trying to sign Pietrangelo get out of it? It would be to bring down the AAV. So again, we haven't seen it often. Had Stamkos walked on Tampa in 2016, I'm told that that's something Tampa had looked into. And I think it was San Jose. Had he signed with San Jose, it might have been a sign and trade to bring down the AAV. So that's something else to keep in mind in all this. So it's sort of another layer.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the cap hit is a big part of it. It ultimately, you know, you're dealing with a guy in Pietrangelo who's 31, so 8 years, a lot of commitment.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, you know what, it's a great idea, but guess who you're jamming up? Probably the next manager if you're not there in 8 years.
They don't care about that, Jamie.
I know,
they're never
but
around.
I get it, but that's, you know, this is what the challenge is. How many times have guys lived through their contract where you believe that it's value? Like now, you know, Matthews will because he's a 5 years, and Marner, the Leafs got those young guys.
They're wheelhouse years.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be mindful of what you believe Pietrangelo's wheelhouse years, or, you know, that isn't even the right term when he's 31 years old, but still can hold a certain level. Can he hold a certain level till he's 36, 37? Like, I think he can. He's an elite player. But, you know, if it's
risky
a big
in
number,
this day and age, man.
It really is. That's
no matter
the
how quality the player is.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting. I mean, does he age well like a Weber or a Chera?
Yeah.
Or does he start to break down? I think he takes pretty good care of himself, but, you know, it's hard to predict that.
Yep.
Yeah. No, well, you look at a guy like Brent Seabrook, is the complete opposite end of that spectrum, who they gave that deal, and almost the second it kicked in, his game fell off, and he ran into injury problems, and now they're stuck, you know?
Yeah,
they paid him for three cups, and I don't know what he's going to bring him in the future.
It's so alluring in the here and now, because, honestly, there is not a single defenseman on the market that can impact you like Alex Pietrangelo.
Well,
you know, it's just that's the alluring part of it.
The Leafs are also, based on what you're telling me here, Pierre, and what you're hearing, and you're not alone. We've heard this from a few different people. If there's this reluctance to spend any money throughout the league for the majority of teams, I don't believe that applies to the Maple Leafs. I mean, in terms of bonus structure, in terms of cash, in terms of going up against the ceiling, like, I don't think this team is going to pump the brakes on spending money. I mean, they'd never get away with it in this market. Like, people would just go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this is more MLSC than just the Leafs, but I was reading in Shams in The Athletic and his insider.
$8 million for Nurse.
$8 million for Nurse. You're paying Nick Nurse $8 million, among the highest paid coaches in the NBA. You're paying Mike Babcock $5.875 million not to coach in hockey. So, I mean, I do think that MLSC, like everyone else, is facing what's going on right now. They're feeling it, but still. If they had a chance, I mean, to me, it would be cap related, not cash related, when it came to whether or not they could actually do Pietrangelo. And the cap thing is real, obviously. They've got challenges there.
Yep, absolutely, for sure. What are you expecting tonight? Game two, Lightning down 1-0. Stamkos, does he play? Does he not? If he does, how does it change the tide of the series?
Yeah, I don't know if he plays tonight. I mean, he's certainly trying so hard to come back. The Lightning, to me, Saturday night looked absolutely gassed, like it was the fifth period of the last game against the Islanders they were playing without having gone to bed. So let's see if they found some energy for tonight, because they look, and I was worried for them that if they didn't finish off the Islanders in five last Wednesday, that they would pay for it. And I think you saw that Saturday night, the stars of the rested team. But I still think they're going to see the real Lightning tonight. You know, and at the end of the day, as amazing, and this is where Noodles, I know, will tell you more than me, as amazing as the Anton Hubonen story is, Vasilevskiy, without as much fanfare as, frankly, he should be getting, has been out of this world. Maybe the best consistent goaltending in the playoffs I've seen in 5 years in playoff hockey.
Like, backup hasn't played a second. Curtis McElhinney hasn't played a second. Like, flat out, like, Vasilevsky's been fantastic.
Yeah. So, to me, he takes over tonight, is what I'm saying.
Yep. I think that's probably a safe bet. We'll see. Game two tonight.
Let's have a little trivia for Pierre before we let him go.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
Pietrangelo is from King City, Pierre. Who's the last great Maple Leaf from King City, Ontario?
Jeff O'Neill?
Yeah, mon ami.
I thought...
La première étoile, Jeff O'Neill.
Yes.
Is it Carlo from there?
Is it Carlo there.
From? Yeah, Carlo's from King
Carlos
City,
from
isn't
Woodbridge. Carlo's from Woodbridge.
Tavares is. He spent some time up there.
No, he didn't.
All right, Pierre. Good stuff, buddy.
All right, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Pierre LeBrunner, Hockey Insider. So the NHL awards are being announced, and Draisaitl wins the Ted Lindsay.
Yeah, McCarr, the rookie.
And McCarr gets the rookie, and I'm looking
at the votes.
I voted
for McCarr. I voted for McCarr as my one.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet this out that, like, the votes, it was really close between McCarr and Hughes.
Yeah.
Like, to no one's surprise. And Kubalik is a distant third.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, yeah. I mean, let's come back and break down some of the items. But McCarr wins Rookie of the Year. Draisaitl wins the Ted Lindsay, which is voted on by the players. That should set him up for the heart, too. I think
he'll probably
a double shot. That's pretty good for him.
Yeah.
And we'll tee up the football game. The Jays are in action tonight as well in Game 2 of the Cup Final. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline here in a moment. It's been a fun show, a lot of hockey talk. A little bit of basketball talk. We didn't touch on Anthony Davis hitting that monster shot to win.
What a shot.
Some incredible moments down at the bubble. Like, incredible moments. The NBA has pulled its weight, man. They have offered up a ton of material.
Absolutely.
Jays Yankees tonight. We got football. We had Nota Begay on earlier this hour. The Golf Insider was brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Fall back into adventure at your local Ontario Subaru dealer. Find your award-winning Subaru well-equipped for all seasons and enjoy rates from as low as 0.5%. And DeChambeau put on a clinic, man. It was a clinic, and next time we see Major Golf, it'll be in November at Augusta National. Some quick updates on the NHL awards. Roman Josi won the Norris. He had a great year. Connor Hellebuck wins the Vezina. That's who you called Noodles.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He had a great year.
Yeah.
And, Cale McCarr, Rookie of the Year. Draisaitl, the Ted Lindsay. And we'll find out who wins, I guess, the Hart Trophy, the Jack Adams. Still waiting on those two. But time now for our best bets, brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the prop sheet tonight for Vegas taking on New Orleans. I am under the number, total completions for Derek Carr, 23.5 under. Over Kamara, total yards tonight. Over Jacobs, total yards tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 90. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. So there you have it. And yeah, we got a ball game again tonight. Wraps up week two. Saints, -4.
Uh-oh.
Just the greatest intro in the history of the show.
It really is.
Stone Cold Al's brother, Kuiper Jr.
What
Al's
do you
brother,
got?
You've been on fire. This guy's been on fire for you, right? He picked the Rams for you, or was it the Ravens? I don't
damn
even remember
straight
what his go-to game
damn
was.
Damn straight.
What was
your
the
play
Ravens
tonight?
It yep was the Ravens that went 3-0 on the weekend. Not too wow shabby. And hopefully we can get another one tonight. And the line actually moved. It was at 5.5. Now moved down to 4. And I kind of like that enough to change my pick. So I'm going to go with the Saints -4 tonight on the road.
That's Stone a slam dunk, Hayes. Like,
cold
are you...
Al's brother, Kuiper Jr. I'm on Vegas tonight. I'll take the points.
Oh, my God. That's
wow
the, you just gave me 100. No, thank you, Al's brother. Thank you, Hayes.
I think
you're
Vegas,
not changing your pick.
I'm not. I'll take Vegas. Vegas is better than you think. No Michael Thomas tonight for the Saints.
No crowd.
No crowd. I understand that. Yep. And listen, Drew Brees is not a young man. He looked okay last week. But I like John Gruden just going crazy. I could see the Saints winning tonight by 3. Might be a late field goal. I could see this being a field goal game. And if it is, send it. So I'm going against the grain, Stone Cold Al's brother, Kuiper Jr., taking
nice
Vegas tonight. I am on Vegas. He is on the Saints. And that means, oh, you're on the Saints as well.
That's
and,
right.
And what do we think about game two, cup final tonight? Does Stamkos go? Still no word.
I don't know. I think Tampa wins tonight. Stamkos or no Stamkos, I think Tampa's going to have a big response. We didn't even get into today. There was so much. That kicker who won it with in overtime.
Right. Butker last night for
Butker
Kansas City.
Butker. 3 in a row.
Got some
yep
stones.
Oh.
Yeah, he does. Well, and how about the, what was his name, Danny Lee or whatever, that just putted his way out of the U.S. Open on Saturday?
Nine
Danny
putted
Lee. Danny a six-putt withdrawal shoot deployment.
Yeah, he said his
and then he had a bad
so
wrist.
Yeah, he's like, oh, bad wrist, I'm done.
Like, that was just, I've had it with this course and everything, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I hate this place.
That was a glute grab. It was
yeah
a glute grab.
He left money on the table. Like, even if he finished last on the weekend, he was still going to make like 30 grand.
Yeah,
and he just
yeah
said, I'm out of here. There
I'm
he is up
done
on TSN 2. Like, by the end, like the
it
first two putts, he was lining up and trying to hit. And then he was like, screw it, I'm tin cupping it.
Yeah, he did
he
not
was
care. He did
yeah
not give zero you know what's.
Yep. Danny Lee. The old six putt shoot deployment.
Jeepers creepers.
Oh,
what am I talking
no
about? Bruce Cassidy won the Jack Adams.
I didn't want to embarrass you.
No, that's my bad. Yep, someone wrote that in. That's totally right. My bad. I should have known that. I did know that. I just forgot about it.
Oh, if that was us, you would have been like, come on, man.
No.
Cassidy won the Jack Adams.
We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Paul George over there.
Shake your head.
All right, Paul. Paul George, give me your pep talk for a big show tomorrow.
Tomorrow, you got to be better. Look yourself in the mirror, and me and Jamie will follow in tow.
Okay, I like it. That puts me in the right mentality.
Yeah.
All right, enjoy love the games it tonight. Shout out to Pinty's as well. Great to have you guys on board.
Love them.
And enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We are back tomorrow at?
Go Saints. You're a chop.
4 p.m.
Okay.
We'll chat then.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com. You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.